Decision Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
The Rapture has now reached Boston, where the Bruins are tied with Tampa Bay 3-3. I'm only teasing. It's 3-3 now, Bruins and Tampa Bay. I swear I mentioned 10 minutes ago that the Bruins were doing well, and I jinxed them, and I apologize to the Bruins. By the way, we've got some Twitter action here. A question, our first Twitter question ever from Brad D. Smoley, who says, who would you sign today for the Oilers, Raihel Ruotsalainen or Yaroslav Pozar? That is a tough one. I probably would want to do a little slide rule work, but Pozar is 59, and his last listed weight was 200. And Ruotsalainen is 50, and he was 5'8", 177, and could skate like the wind. So I'm going to go with Ruotsalainen, but there's a caveat there. I'd like to think about it a little more, because power forwards are good, and the Oilers need them. Captain Obvious says, thanks very much for getting me through work today. And we have a listener from Sweden who's on Twitter today. So Twitter's working, man. All that hash is paying off. We are joined now by Matt Fenwick, who's on the outskirts of Innisfail. How are you, man?
I'm good. How about you?
Now, you tweet, right?
I do. That's almost the only writing I do these days.
I noticed that. You're lazy now.
Pretty much.
Wow.
Or old or both.
You're independently wealthy. You don't need to have people go to your blog or anything like that.
That's right. I don't need the 50 cents a month from advertising anymore. So.
Yeah, it's a great deal from Blogger, hey?
Yeah. No, probably not a great way to get rich, as you well know, but...
No. Hey, has the world ended in Innisfail, or is it still going strong?
Looks like business as usual, I'll report. Yeah.
Now, one of the reasons I was kind of looking forward to the Rapture was the Canucks wouldn't win the Stanley Cup, but let's talk about that first. Honestly, do you think anybody can stop the Canucks?
I doubt it. They look pretty good. I think last time I talked to you, I said they seemed like they had a bit of Flames in 89 vibe, and they haven't really seen much to change that.
It really is amazing. Even the game last night, they were dead on arrival, and then they turned it on. It seemed like, it was over. There was no chance, and they turned it on, and bang, they almost got back into the thing.
Yep. The only change, actually, since I talked to you last, is I'm less unhappy about it than I expected to be. part of it is because I didn't really like Chicago very much, and I certainly don't like the Sharks very much, so... I think maybe it's just the time that's gone by, and I'm starting to accept it. So.
Yeah, I think it's like root canal. Once you're in the chair,
that must be it. Good analogy.
There you go. Hey, did you check out the Vigneault press conference last night where he was bitching and moaning about the refereeing?
No, I think after the first, about 120 of those coach press conferences of the playoffs, they started tuning them out. So,
probably pretty wise. I'm going to take your advice. I think they're not worth watching. So now, who are you picking to come out of the East? Boston has allowed Tampa Bay back into this game today.
I think Boston's probably the better team, but I quit betting against Rolison about almost exactly 5 years ago. So,
he really is amazing, isn't he?
Who knows what he can... what kind of magic he has, but I thought I'd be cheering harder for the Bruins, but it turns out, I'm still a little bit bitter at the Tampa Bay organization, of course, because of 2004, but with Rolison, and it's hard to hate Marty St. Louis, and yeah, they don't really have any detestable players, except for maybe Malone, so I think I'm easy either way, but I think odds are whoever comes out gets crushed.
I recall 2004 being a wonderful year.
Funny perspective, eh?
I guess so, hey.
Yeah.
So if we can agree, Boston and Vancouver in the final, who give me your quick thumbnail sketch of who might win.
I think the Canucks win without as much trouble as they had against Chicago or they're having against the Sharks.
Okay.
Probably pretty close to the Vancouver-Nashville series where, it's never, that one-sided on a minute-to-minute basis, but as the minutes pile up, boy, they're just far too good.
All right, let's change pace a little bit and talk a little bit about your Calgary Flames. Jay Feaster is the de facto GM. What's your reaction to that?
He is the official GM of the factor, as a matter of fact, now, and I'm okay with it. I would have been more happy if I had seen them go through the motions a bit more of a search or had heard that they interviewed some people or whatnot. I have no idea why they suddenly decided this week that, oh, now it's time to make him the permanent GM, because I don't know what changed, but I think he's fine. I mean, there's some ways to be happy about it relative to Daryl Sutter, right? I mean, at least when I see him talking to Ron McLean or somebody on Hockey Night in Canada, I don't have to be basically embarrassed at my own team's GM, which is kind of what it was with Daryl Sutter a lot of the time. I didn't mind most of his moves, but it was sure hard to hear him talk.
Well, he was a little crusty, right?
Yeah, and just he was a little bit mean almost to the media, like it, beyond kind of, you know, yeah, grouchy. It was just, he was a little bit, he almost like he wanted to see a lot of them humiliated. It made me quite uncomfortable. So Jay Feaster's such a, you know, well-spoken and easygoing guy and humble as well. He sounds humble anyway, that then at least I can get behind that. But his record is pretty mixed.
Speaking of getting behind, I think I'm okay with the Curtis Glencross contract. How do you feel about it?
I think it's a terrific deal. For the length of the contract and the amount of money he's getting per year, I think it's fantastic. I mean, I think he left a ton of money on the table. I honestly think he left $10 million on the table, because I'm sure that he could have gotten $4 million for 5 years instead of $2.5 million for 4 years. So he must really like Alberta.
I think he really just, you know, he was put in his place by the Edmonton Oilers by how strongly they handled things.
Maybe that's it. But actually, I think he probably could have got a Ryan Malone contract or pretty close to that. I know somebody came back at me when I kind of first said that, you know, 5 years times $4 million, and gave me a list of people like Jordan Staal who are making $4 million a year, but they're not really comparable because they were re-signed players or restricted free agents. And you get a guy who's 20 plus goals, who's very fast, physical, penalty kills and everything, and gets on the open market, there's just not that many of them.
No, there isn't. And he's also a guy, you know, he can play on a couple of different lines, and he can play in many different situations. So I think it's a good move from their point of view, and it sets up their roster pretty well.
It's a good move, yeah.
Yeah. How do you think Feaster's going to get out of cap purgatory? Is it just a matter of waiting these contracts out?
Well, Kent from your sister blog had a good rundown of it. This week, I think somebody that's relatively expensive is going to have to go to the minors, and somebody who's one of their Kotelik or Hagman's going to have to go to Europe or something. And that part seems fairly straightforward. It's happened a few times in the last few years of a kind of a Russian or a Czech who isn't really in the NHL team's plans anymore, and it seems to be amicable when they go away. But something's going to have to be difficult, like sending Sarich to the minors or something like that, and it will be unpleasant for everyone, but I don't hardly see there's any way around it. Either that, or he fills every remaining spot on the roster with a minimum salary player.
Did you park right on the highway, you lazy guy, or did you go into the Henday? I can hear cars driving by here.
Just about. It's a, what do you call it, artery.
Honest to God. I mean, really, this is an important radio show you're on. Spend the gas, man.
I should have just stayed in the car, and you could have heard the video game sounds from my kids in the back seat.
Hey, you know, there's a great ice cream dairy there. I can't remember the name of it. It's like Inland Dairies or something. There's great ice cream there. Just
well,
saying.
I'm not kidding. I'm going to look for it right after we're done then.
There you go. So there's no trade. We talked about this last time, and I tried to make you say it, and you won't. Don't they have to trade a Ginla, Regier, or Kiprusoff? Come on, man.
If they could trade Kiprusoff, I think, I absolutely think they should, and I think there's a good chance they probably would. But, you know, it's the paradox, right, that if you're making more money than your actual value as a player warrants, then nobody wants to trade for you. And if you're a good deal, your contract is a deal, then everybody wants you, but your team doesn't want to give you up. So
yeah.
Oilers have the same problem times, you know, 6 or 10 players as well, right? I mean, on either side of that equation.
We are so close to contending. It's just a matter of time now, buddy.
A couple more high draft picks, I think, and you'll be good, eh?
Listen, if we can sign these guys to their second level, because the entry-level ones are concerning me, and then when they get around to the second one, that's what we're going to have to trade a few of these lottery picks, I think.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about, speaking of the draft, any thought? Calgary's at 13. Do you think they'll use that pick or maybe trade it down for a later first round and maybe a second?
I think it's possible just because they don't have any other picks in the first three rounds. And it sounds from you, the reporting of you and many others, that it's kind of the top eight and then levels off a bit more after that, or there's another tier. So, and I do think they need, rather than a really promising diamond, I think they need some more pieces of coal to sift through, or, you know, more popcorn to put in the pot, because they're not getting a superstar in this draft that they know is going to be a superstar. It's the 13th pick, so they might try and go for a bit more quantity and roll the dice, right?
Yeah, and you, the thing about the Flames is they do come up with Giordanos and those kinds of players. They're not necessarily, you know...
Glenn Crosses and
Works. Yeah, so it's not like you have to have a Phaneuf every year, right?
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, in fact, there's quite a few teams in the NHL that seem to get by without ever picking the top five, and they're often good. You just, you know, have to get lucky a bit and have, make more good decisions than bad, but it's not impossible.
Well, we're going to kick your ass anytime now. I want you to know that. So, you know.
Yeah, give me a year.
<You're>
I think the Flames are at 7 straight years of finishing ahead of the Oilers. So one of these years, it won't go past 10, I don't think. But
you are going to be in the lottery very soon. The Winnipeg Jets are going to come back and cause you all kinds of problems in this division, mister.
Well, we are the only people the Jets have ever won in the beat in the playoffs, right? So,
well, there you go. Yeah. Now, do you think that the this year? I mean, it's Feaster just took over, but do you think he's going to be a guy who tries to add picks, or do you think that Canucks or the Flames will ever move in that direction where they're doing something similar to what the Oilers are doing now?
The radical rebuild, or whatever you call it, the explode and rebuild.
Well, I would say adding picks as opposed to the exploding rebuild.
I think it's possible they'll add picks if they can trade, you know, B prospects or that type of thing, or even, you know, you give starch to someone and you take back another so-so contract that's not quite as big and get a draft pick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, but kind of a massive organizational, well, what we need to do is draft more. I don't see that.
Right. There's another car going by. Hey, listen, we're getting this big, new, beautiful arena that's going to make yours look like a ugly saddle. Is there any talk of getting a new arena for the Flames now?
Yeah, I think Ken King's probably been talking about it for 3 years or so. I know they've gone through planning. They've hired either HOK Sport or one of those guys to look at what they want to do. Difference is they kind of started with their own business, and then they're going to go and nag the government for money or whatever, whereas this one kind of, you know, partly because of the involvement of Northlands and the city as the owners of the rink, they started at the political end and then tried to figure out what they wanted to do with it. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, so far, obviously, Ken King's method is less controversial because there hasn't been the same, I don't know, sniping and difficulties with the Calgary Arena project, but realistically, it's probably 2 years behind the Oilers one, you know.
Well,
any higher level government money is going to get matched for Calgary, for sure. So.
And then also, your arena isn't, you know, I mean, all kidding aside, your arena isn't in the same condition as the as Edmonton's, right?
It's a little closer to downtown. But, no, it's a little bit newer, 9 years newer or something, and went through a fairly major reno in the mid-90s, and I think it's in fine condition, but, you know, they always want more of these NHL clubs, right?
So yeah.
They could always make a few more bucks every game.
Have you been to that Winnipeg arena, the one now?
I haven't.
Okay.
You?
No, I was in the old one. Did you ever go to the old one?
No.
Oh, man. It was a great place to watch hockey because you could watch Dale Hawerchuk on a breakaway, and then there'd be a great big post right in your face, so you'd have to move and hit the guy next to you. It was. You know what? It had a lot of personality. It was a fun building to be in just based on that. Are you happy the Jets are coming back or probably coming back?
Oh, I'm super excited for the old fans there. I mean, I personally don't really care, I guess, but I'm sure happy for all the Winnipeggers and the expat Manitobans and all that who get their team back because, yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun for them.
Final question for you and then another, you know, couple of ones, but the Memorial Cup, do you follow that at all? Is that something you watch?
Very little. I don't pay much attention to hockey players until they turn pro, although Max Reinhardt is on a Kootenai Ice and has definitely kind of jumped forward relative to where he was when the Flames drafted him last June, so I'm going to be keeping tabs on that.
Yeah, that must have been a mistake for the Flames drafting department, eh?
they thought they were engaging in some nepotism, and it turns out they got themselves a good player. Like, what happened, eh?
He is outstanding. Ken Simpson and I talk. He's the color guy for the Oil Kings broadcast, and he raves about him. He says he's a terrific player, and obviously
he is. I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, so he's seen him a lot, so we won't be talking about him anymore, I'll tell you that much. Now, are you driving up here for the long weekend, or what are you doing?
Oh, I live there now, man. I was down in Calgary for a funeral and visiting some friends and whatnot yesterday, so now we're kind of heading back to Sherwood Park for the last half of the long weekend to enjoy the sun.
So you live here and you haven't bought me lunch yet? What's that about?
Well, you're not the easiest guy to get a hold of, partially, you know.
Yeah, that's
the easiest way to talk to you, you know.
Yeah. Hey, I found Twitter, so I'm all over that. Just keep tweeting. Hey, thanks very much, Matt. Appreciate it.
No problem. Bye.
Okay. Great guy, absolutely great guy, and a legendary blogger. And now you can find him on Twitter. If you haven't seen him on Twitter, you can go to my blog, and I've done. You can click on his name, and then it shows up. Okay, it's something about hash. I know that. I do know that now. It's twitter.com/! Matt Fenwick. Wanya's laughing at me right now. If you want to check that out, that's where Matt Fenwick is. Got another email here before we take a break. Delighted draft boards love Ryan Nugent Hopkins. This is from Willie 1958. He says, delighted draft boards that love Ryan Nugent Hopkins. I would feel so much better if David Conte agreed with draft prognosticators. And I totally agree with that. Speaking of draft experts and guys who know the draft, one of the best out there is Kirk Ludeke. And we're going to be talking to him next.